And we're holding on Ayin Tes Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah that one type of neder that the husband can be mefer, and according to most Rishonim, the same restriction is true of the father. We said im erchatz. We had in the Mishnah that the woman says, if I bathe or if I do not bathe. So we have to figure out what exactly, how exactly did she formulate the neder such that now it's considered a neder inri nefesh, morning, Ali, that it should be considered a neder inri nefesh. And we have to also account for the fact that Rabbi Yossi had said in the Mishnah that that is not a neder inri nefesh. So that's going to be, we're going to discuss the ins and outs of that in the Sugya. So the Gemara asks, Teichi ka'omar, ka'omra, really, it's supposed to be, how exactly did she say the neder? Ilema de amra konam peris elo alai im erchat. Now, what it is, it can't just be that straight out she made a neder if I will wash or if I will not wash, because the Ran points out you can't really talk about im, you can't really talk about if when you're talking about a koinam, a neder, which we've been learning throughout the Masechta, is that you're saying such and such is koinam to me. There's no such thing really as koinam to me if such and such. So how exactly did she say it? It means that there was, if she said a koinam, that bathing is also to me, then fine, but that's not what the Mishnah is saying. She's saying, im erchatz, if I bathe, implying that there's some part of her neder which the Mishnah has not said straight out. So what exactly did she say? So the Gemara says, ilayma, are you going to say, de omra koinam peres ha'olam alai? Is it that she said, a koinam, that peres from the world, all the peres, and we said yesterday, it can't really be all of them, because that's an impossible neder, a certain kind of peres from the whole world will be also on me, im erchatz, if I bathe. So she's saying, in other words, right now, nothing's also to me. But the bathing is a contingency, that's a tenai. If I bathe, then the result of that is going to be that peres ha'olam are also to me. Well, the question is, lama lo hafara? The question is, why does she need hafara? Meaning, not really, why does she need? The Ran explains, it's more like, how can the husband be made for such a thing? In other words, it's not yet a neder in a nefesh. Fine, loy tirchatz, she won't bathe, and then the tnai won't be fulfilled. Loy litzeron peres olam, and then the peres of the world won't be also elu Allah, and then the peres of the world, or these peres, okay, I go to Sabach, takes out the word elu, then the peres of the world won't be forbidden to her. In other words, fine, yes, if she made a neder that peres are forbidden to her, that would be a neder in a nefesh. But now she's saying that's only if she triggers that by bathing. Well, then in that case, right now the Gemara is understanding that that her not bathing in and of itself is not considered a neder inri nefesh. And the reason why.
One second.
The reason why we're assuming that, the Ran explains, is because if the lack of bathing by itself was considered a neder inri nefesh, then we wouldn't need to go through this whole rigmarole. Then the Mishnah could have just said straight out that she says koinam rechitza alai, and that would be that. The very fact that the Mishnah is mentioning it im erchatz v'im loy erchatz, the loy erchatz we'll deal with later, seems to imply, in other words, that just the lack of rechitza by itself is not considered a neder inri nefesh. At least that's what the Gemara is assuming right now. Only if there's something else depending on it. Well, if there's something else depending on it, which is inri nefesh, okay, but the bathing itself is, so fine. So there's nothing to be made for. She won't bathe. It'll never become also to her, and that's that. Yeah, what do you want to ask?
So, there's one, the neder itself is conditional, but the condition is not conditional. The condition is established and can be considered as a neder.
No, but the condition itself, though, is not a neder. She's not making a neder, I won't bathe. She's saying, if I do, then such and such will happen. So what there is the Ran points out like this. We learned earlier in the Masechta, we learned in the second parak, we had an example also involving a neder with a contingency, where we said, for example, a person said that a person made a neder that I'll be also to sleep today if I sleep tomorrow. In other words, so if I sleep tomorrow, then retroactively I'll have been also to sleep today. So we said there that he shouldn't be sleeping today, because what happens if he ends up sleeping tomorrow and then he'll have fulfilled his tanai, and then retroactively it turns out that he's breaking his neder. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Shouldn't the husband be able to be mefer because she might bathe, and then it's going to turn out that she's also in the pavis? So Ran gives the answer, because she's not saying they should be also to me as of today if I bathe. She's saying they should be also to me, meaning as of when the neder, as of when the tanai takes effect. So then, now there we didn't talk about that. There we talked about where the tanai takes effect after the neder would have been in effect. And then we said she has to be careful about that, because otherwise people might not be careful with their tanai. Here, since the tanai precedes the chalois, since the tanai precedes the taking effect of the neder, very well, then she has to be careful. She has to be careful about the tanai. But the tanai itself does not constitute a neder, or even if the Gemara is assuming, maybe even it constitutes a neder or a part of a neder. Fine, but the fact is, it's not. The Gemara is assuming right now that it's not considered inui nefesh. So what is there for the husband? So what is there for the husband to be made?
The tanai itself.
No, but that's the thing. The tanai itself, we're assuming at this point, is not considered a neder in your nefesh. The Ritva, by the way, gives a different answer. He says it's one thing the Gemara there had mentioned in the case of sleep. Now you can have a person might be so tired they fall asleep involuntarily. On the other hand, you can't say a person is going to bathe involuntarily. So therefore, you could say that when it comes to a tanai involving bathing, let's say, she can be careful. She just has to be careful not to do that. But we're not necessarily saying that the husband has what to be made for yet, because there's not an actual neder of inri nefesh here yet. Wait, we're going to get back to the point of whether a lack of bathing is considered neder inri nefesh. We'll get back to that. But right now, we're assuming that either that it's not, or we're saying that even if it is, it itself is not the neder. It's only a tanai of a neder, and therefore that's not going to work. So it seems that so right now the Gemara is assuming that wouldn't work. That's not the kind of neder inri nefesh that the husband should be able to be made for, even according to the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, V'oid, and furthermore, another problem with that understanding is, how can, now let's ask the opposite question, how could Rabbi Yossi say that they're not neder inri nefesh? After all, you have the opposite problem. What if she does bathe, the itzir or peiros olam alah, and then the peiros of the world becomes forbidden to her, and that Rabbi Yossi has to agree is considered neder inri nefesh? Because he continues in the Mishnah, he says that if she says koinam peiros olam alai, then he's able to be made for. So obviously he agrees that kind of thing is considered neder inri nefesh. So the question is, now it's interesting though that the Gemara seems to be taking almost the opposite view in this part of the question as it did the previous one. First, the Gemara was starting with the assumption that it's not a neder inri nefesh, and how can the husband be made for it? And now all of a sudden the Gemara is turning 180 degrees and saying not only is it so obvious that it should be a neder inri nefesh, but how can Rabbi Yossi say differently? So the Ran explains. that the Gemara is not really asking on Rabbi Yossi's din. It's not considered a neder inri nefesh. The question is the loshen. How can Rabbi Yossi use the loshen ein elu nidrei inri nefesh? These, the examples that we gave of im erchatz, im loy erchatz, are not considered a neder inri nefesh, implying, in other words, that he's saying, I agree with you, Tanakama. It is possible that she might bathe, and then the payers are going to be also for her. Nevertheless, I'm not considering it neder inri nefesh. Well, why not? If he agrees that the fact is, if she does bathe, then the fact is the neder itself, the not eating the payers, is inri nefesh. We were only saying that maybe so she has the option of triggering it by she has the option to not trigger it by not bathing. So his loshen ought to be ein yochel lahafer mishum nidra inri nefesh. He can't be nefer because at this point we don't yet have a neder that is inri nefesh by itself, because it depends on her triggering it. Why the loshen ein elu nidra inri nefesh, which seems to be like he's saying there's no neder of inri nefesh involved here at all, where there certainly is. So the question is not so much on his din, the question is more on his loshen. Loshen should have been. He can't be made for because of nidra in a nefesh, because granted there is potential nidra in a nefesh over here, but we're not there yet. So that should have been the loshen. Tosfos says something similar that also the Gemara is Tosfos is bothered by the same thing, that the Gemara seems to be switching 180 degrees. And again, the answer is Tosfos says somewhat similarly. If Reb Yossi meant like if Reb Yossi could have said lo yofer, that he can't be nefer, instead he's saying ein elu nidre inri nefesh. These are not nedarim of inri nefesh. So that implies, in other words, that that he's saying even this neder, even if she fulfills the tanai, nevertheless Reb Yossi is saying it's not nidre inri nefesh. Well, why not? If she's saying that ultimate that because of that payrus are going to be also to her, that's certainly nidre inri nefesh. Also, Tosfos gives another answer. The Gemara is going to go on to, the Mishnah goes on to mention the case. She says, if I'll beautify myself, and the Gemara is going to explain later on, about the details of that. So that would be another reason to assume that it can't just mean at face value that Rabbi Yossi is saying there's no inri nefesh here involved at all. Okay, so
It seems to be that Rabbi Yossi doesn't consider conditional neder in nefesh.
No, definitely.
A neder in nefesh.
Rabbi Yossi knows there's such a thing as conditional nedarim. So that's what we have to figure out. How could he be saying, ein elu nidre in nefesh? The fact is, there certainly is a potential neder in nefesh involved over here if she triggers it. So because of those two reasons, number one, on the one hand, looking at it from the point of view of the Tanna Kamma, is there's nothing for the husband to be made for yet. And according to Rabbi Yossi, either he should be agreeing with the Tanna Kamma, or at least he should be using a different loshen to express the point that there's not yet a neder inu nefesh over here, rather than saying ein elu nidra inu nefesh, which makes it sound as though there's no neder of inu nefesh here at all, ever, and in fact there is.
So
that's what we have to figure out. The loshen though seems a little off. That's the point. Yeah.
At the time that it was said, there was no need in nefesh.
Yeah, but then he wouldn't be using the expression ein elu nidra inri nefesh. He should say he can't be nefer on the grounds of nidra inri nefesh because there doesn't exist such a nedra yet. Ein elu nidra inri nefesh makes it sound like he's saying there's never any nedra of inri nefesh at all, whether even if she triggers it, and that's not so.
It sounds that they will never be,
okay,
and that's not correct.
You know what? Let's go on. Let's go on, and we'll see. It'll become clear, okay? The Ella de Umra, so no, let's say a different possibility. Suppose she says, Koinam Hanas Rechitza Laila Olam Im Erfat. So now, suppose she, forget about Paris. The Neder, the condition of the Neder and the Neder itself all involve bathing. So she's saying, a Koinam, that the Hana of bathing will be also to me, La Olam, forever, Im Erfat, if I bathe. So in other words, she's saying, there's going to be one time that I bathe, and then at that one will be mutter to me. But thereafter, she's saying I will be also. Well,
you're saying that no, what does that mean?
It means in other words exactly that. I know. Your person can make the hana of something also to them. That is no question.
You'll bathe.
There's no such thing.
Cold water.
No, even cold water, a person still has a certain hana of them. No, it's a sort of like we learned before, and we're going to learn at the end of this parak, for example, a person who can make a neder, let's say, the hana of tashmish with you is also to me, for example. There's no such thing. I mean, hana involves, tashmish involves a certain degree of hana. So therefore, it means it's also because we say you can't give a person something which is also to them.
9 days to say you can take a shower, but you...
Yeah, but still. Okay. So you're saying, in other words, she's going to be allowed to bathe once, but never after that. Mishum hachi meferla, and you're saying because of that is why the Tanna Kamma says that he can be mefer dehechi tevid, because we have to figure how is she going to do tirchatz if she bathes the one time mitzra hanas rechitzala, then she's going to be also in the hana of bathing ever again, and that we're assuming is neder inu nefesh loy tirchatz, and if she doesn't bathe isla nivula, then she's going to be dirty.
One second.
No, the point is, in other words, whenever she bathes, So in other words, so we're saying if I bathe today, then I'll be also in the future. If I bathe tomorrow, I'll be also in the future. Whenever the first time is that she takes a bath, after that, she's going to be also. So if we're saying that she should constantly push off that she's never going to bathe, well, then from day to day, eventually it's going to be nivel. Eventually it's going to be that eventually she's going to be doing. And in fact, the Ran adds the in that case the Mishnah didn't have to mention this convoluted case. The Mishnah could have just said straight out koinam rechitza alai. Before, when we started the discussion, we thought that since it says im erchatz im loy erchatz, so we understood there's some kind of condition involved. We thought the condition is some kind of side thing, but we shot that down. We said that doesn't fit with the words of the Mishnah or with the din of the Mishnah. Now we're saying the condition and the neder both involve rechitza. So in that case, why didn't the Mishnah just say straight out that she says a koinam, that bathing is also for me? The chiddush is the Ran says, even the Tanakama is saying, even though the fact is the first one is mutter to her, the first one is only the condition, if not yet the neder. Nevertheless, he can still be mefer even before she's done that. So the Ran goes on to mention later, we touched on in the previous parak, we're going to have in more detail towards the end of our parak, towards the end of our mesechta, we're going to have a machloikas Rav Nosson and Mechachamim, when the woman has made a neder that has not yet taken effect. So before, we talked about previously where she makes where she hasn't yet made the neder and the husband wants to be made for it in advance. We have the machloikas Rav Eliezer and Mechachamim. But we have a separate machlokas. She made the neder now, but the neder is only going to take effect sometime from now. For example, she says, a month from now, I'm going to be in a zero or something.
About Pesach.
That's something else. Right. But they were involved in a tanai. Right. They were talking about a tanai. For example, she said, we were talking about hafara. They were talking about the husband making a neder and saying, for example, that you will be also in hanah from me until Pesach if you go to your father's house in between now and Sukkot. No, now we're talking about the woman's neder and the husband being made for it. So that's something else. But, no, what we're talking about is, so again, you can have the case where she didn't make the neder yet, he wants to be made for it in advance, that you have the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, whether we can do. Separately than that, you have, she made the neder right now, but the halois, the applicability of the neder, is only going to begin sometime from now, next day or next week or what have you. Can he be made for it before it actually takes effect? Rabbi Nosson says no, the Chachamim say yes. So now in this connection over here, then the Ran discusses how that relates to our Gemara over here, because over here also you have the same, a similar kind of thing, because she said I'm going to be also in the future to bathe if I bathe the one time. So now the Chachamim are saying that he can be made for even now. That means even before the neder took effect. So even before she bathed that first time, and therefore triggered the neder with that, he can already be made for, is what the Chachamim are saying. Rabbi Yossi sover efshe b'loy rochza. Rabbi Yossi is going to hold that no, because it's perfectly possible for her to not bathe and not trigger the neder. Ola nivel loy chashinin. We're not concerned that she's going to be doing. So in other words, So the Ran teaches out, Rabbi Yossi would hold, unlike the Chachamim, that a lack of bathing is not considered inui nefesh in the first place. So therefore, therefore it's not a neder. That's why he says the expression ein zen ned ein elu nidra inui nefesh. This kind of thing is not considered a neder of inui nefesh because that she's saying I won't bathe. He holds is not considered inui nefesh. Now we're going to deal with on Omid Beis. We're going to deal with Yom Kippur. Avraham Moshe, you brought this up yesterday, and Yom Kippur, we know Ta'an of us not to say them. And one of the things is you're not allowed to bathe. So we'll get to that on Omid Beis.
Have to say not bathing. Yeah, it's not considered. It's keeping the husband away, and she.
Well, keeping the husband away is something else. That's 1 second. Keeping the husband away is dvarim shebeina levena. That's something else. Rabbi Yossi is the Gemara is going to discuss later on when Rabbi Yossi says in eva nidra inu nefesh, and he goes and discusses what is nidra inu nefesh. Is Rabbi Yossi saying that the husband has the right to be made for these kinds of nidarim because of dvarim shebeina levena? Where we learned yesterday, the difference is because of dvarim shebeina levena, he can only be made for the part that's relevant to him. So he would be able to be made for the part that now she'd be able to bathe as long as she's married to him. But if they ever get divorced and he dies, then Taka should be awesome. Anyway, so now the Ram gets into a long discussion over here. about, again, he brings it from Rabbeinu Yonah, that, so again, how does this relate? How do we relate this to that machlokas of Rav Nosson and the Chachamim later on in the Perek? So according to Rav Nosson, we should say, if our sugya was following Rav Nosson, then how could we say that according to the Chachamim, he can be nefer right now, even before she triggered the neder? According to Rav Nosson, he can only be nefer a neder after it comes into effect. The problem with that is, now if we go back a little bit to the beginning of the sugya, we said when the Gemara first brought up the possibility that maybe the neder in our Mishnah involves Rechitza and Peiris, where she said, if I bathe, then I will be also in all the Peiris. And we said that in that case, so what's the problem? Let her not bathe and she won't be also in the Peiris. Well, according to the Chachamim, what's the problem? You should be able to be made for in that case as well, because according to the Chachamim, you can be made for a neder even though it hasn't been chal yet. So the Ran goes on to say that, yeah, the Tanakama of our Mishnah does hold like the Chachamim, but the difference is that there can be a case where she makes the neder, it hasn't been chal yet, and it's impossible for her to avoid having the tnai come into effect. So the machlokas that we have of Rav Nosson and the Chachamim later on in the Perek is, for example, she makes a neder that the first is similar to what we're saying over here as far as bathing, but she makes a neder involving tashmish. She says, if I have tashmish with you, my husband, the next time I do, after that, I am also to have the hanah of tashmish ever again. So it's the same kind of thing as we're saying here as far as bathing. Minahud means from all the rest of the Jewish people. It means if she ever dies, if her husband ever dies or divorces her, then she's also to marry and have relations with any other year. Anyway, so we're going to discuss that at the end of the paragraph. But anyway, it's not really possible to prevent that happening. So therefore, you can talk about, can the husband be made for now, as opposed to bathing is more of a voluntary thing. There's no dvarim shebeina levena in it directly anyway. So not yet. But we also have to keep in mind, you know, it's not necessarily that she's saying she'll never in her life be able to bathe again. You know, it could always be for a week or a month or whatever, you know, anyway. You have to remember in those times, people didn't necessarily bathe as frequently as they do now, you know, so yeah. Anyway. Another point that Ran says is, let's say she makes the neder depend on something which is very likely to be over on. The Ran gives an example. Let's say she makes a neder. I won't be allowed to have hanah from you if I do anything for your father or for my father. It's very hard to avoid not doing something that they ask her to do. But here you have the neder, the tnai that we're talking about over here is that she says that I won't bathe. That's neither of those things. It's not something that she's inevitably going to be over on. It's not something that's impossible or very difficult for her to avoid. And we're assuming still that Rechitza itself is not considered inui nefesh. So even according to the Chachamim, you might not be able to be made for the neder yet until it actually takes effect, which is why the Gemara asked at the beginning that the husband shouldn't be able to be made for, in the case where there was rechitza and fruit involved. So far then, we have a way of explaining the Chachamim versus Rabbi Yosef. So the Chachamim are going to say that there is a certain degree of inui nefesh in never bathing, and therefore they're saying the husband has the right to be mefer, and that we're saying again that maybe he can't be, and we're saying that he'd be able to be mefer even before she bathes that first time and triggers the neder, and Rav Yossi would say that not, because he holds that there's no inui nefesh involved. Well, the problem is, ihachi, that's all fine, but if so, listni hachi, then still the wording of Rabbi Yossi is still a little off. It should say, Rabbi Yossi omer, tnai ze ein bo inri nefesh. Rabbi Yossi should say that this tnai is not a matter of inri nefesh. When we say ein bo inui nefesh, ein elu nidre inui nefesh, implies that there's no inui nefesh at all in it. And furthermore, the Ran brings further from Rabbeinu Yonah in this explanation that it sounds like Rabbi Yossi is saying because it's not inui nefesh, then he can't be mefer. Had it been inui nefesh, then he could. But no, because the tnai doesn't involve inui nefesh at all. The tnai is bathing one time, and a lack of bathing one time is certainly not inui nefesh. So why is the expression ein elu nidre inui nefesh? The expression should be the tnai specifically has no inui nefesh in it because the tnai is only to not bathe one time, and that certainly can't be inui nefesh. So that doesn't work either. Ella, so let's try a third possibility. Again, we're still trying to figure out how exactly she expressed her neder that we're saying that that should fit with the words of the Mishnah, im erchatz or im loy erchatz, and that the Tanakama should hold it's a neder of inri nefesh, and Rabbi Yossi should be able to say, ein elu nidri inri nefesh. So we need a formulation of a neder that's going to satisfy all those criteria. So what is it? So Ella de Amra, so rather she says, Hanas Rechitza Alai La'olam Im Erchatzayon. So she says the Hana of bathing will be also to me forever if I bathe today. So the difference is, in other words, in the previous one we said if I bathe, which means whether she bathes today or whether the first time she takes a bath is tomorrow or the next day, whenever that happens, then the neder is triggered. Now we're saying something else. Now we're saying, she's saying, today, Friday, if I bathe, then I'm going to be also in Hana of Rechitza forever. But once that day is over, then she can bathe normally, then the tnai is over. So now the question is, so now the Tanakhama says that we can still consider it neder inu nefesh, because it's only a lack of bathing for one day. The Tanakhama says that's enough for it to be considered neder inu nefesh. Rabbi Yossi is going to disagree, but Rabbi Yossi sover nivol b'chad yoma lo shmei nivol. Rabbi Yossi holds that being dirty and disgusting for one day is not considered an inri nefesh. She can hold herself back for one day, and then again, unlike the previous one where you have the problem, she can't bathe on Friday because then she'll be also from Shabbos and on. Shabbos, okay, it's Shabbos. Let's start from Sunday actually. So in the previous one, she said, the first time I bathe, I'm going to be usur forever. So then what happens is she can't bathe on Sunday because she'll be usur from Monday and on. She can't bathe on Monday because she'll be usur from Tuesday and on. Here, the difference is she said to begin with, if I bathe today, Sunday, then I'll be usur forever. Well, all she has to do is wait until Monday. So Rabbi Yossi says that's not a neder of inri nefesh, because all it is she just has to not bathe for the one day, and that's it.
That fits his lashon.
And that would fit his lashon, ein elu nidre inri nefesh. So the Ram still says that even so, you'd still have to ask on Rabbi Yossi's lashon ein elu nidre inu nefesh. After all, the neder as a whole has inu nefesh. It's only the tnai. We're saying the tnai being for only one day, then there's no inu nefesh with it. In fact, the Ram says that Rabbi Yossi would hold that yes, even if she said that Rechitza is also to her forever, that would not be considered nivul, that would not be considered that something that we consider a neder of inri nefesh. The reason why in that case the Tana doesn't mention that is because the Tana is saying, Rabbi Yossi is saying even more. He's saying that Rabbi Yossi is saying Rechitza is not considered inri nefesh at all. So in other words, Rabbi Yossi would say, as far as I'm concerned, it's true. Whether she formulated the neder, like we just said, I'm also, if I bathe today, Sunday, then I'm also forever. Or whether she said it like the previous one, if I bathe on any one day, then I'm also forever. Either way, Rabbi Yossi would say it's not nidre inri nefesh.
Even the first lashon,
that's what he's saying. He's putting, even if she says the first time that I do it, and I'll be also, yeah, Rabbi Yossi would still hold that that's not considered neder inu nefesh as well. It brings from Rabbeinu Eliezer, one of the Rishonim, who learns like that. And then he goes on to say that going back to Rabbeinu Yonah's explanation before, where we discussed about Rav Nosson versus the Chachamim and how that fits into our Gemara over here, then he says that so Rav Yossi would say that when it's only for one day, it's not even Dvarim Shebeinu Levena. Mela, if it's an open-ended one, like in the previous one, eventually it's going to be Dvarim Shebeinu Levena. But here, where it's one thing, then he would say it's not even Dvarim Shebeinu Levena, and therefore he has no basis to be made for at all. Whereas if it was an open-ended one, like the previous one, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, we would say, fine, he can't be made for it right away, but eventually when it becomes Dvarim Shebeinu Levena, eventually when her lack of bathing is going to affect their relationship, then at that point he'd be able to be made for it.
So now that he doesn't have to, or he doesn't have the right?
When we're saying he doesn't have the right, we're saying until then he wouldn't have the right because it wouldn't be Nedu Inu Nefesh and it wouldn't yet be Dvarim Shebeinu Levena. Right. Okay. Fine. The Gemara says Shemisa im Erchatz. Fine.
That's
the final answer. But the Gemara says Shemisa im Lo Erchatz. Okay. So you've explained the part of the Mishnah that says im Erchatz. So now we understand what she said. She said that if I bathe today, then the if and the unexpressed part of the Mishnah is I bathe today, then. If I bathe today, then there's an unexpressed, a part of the neder that's unexpressed in the Mishnah, then I will be also forever. So now the Tanakhama is saying that it's still considered neder inu nefesh, and Rabbi Yossi is going to hold that not. Im loy erchatz hechidam. But how do we explain the next part of the Mishnah, where she says, im loy erchatz, if I don't bathe? So again, let's go through the possibilities. Again, is she saying, the hana of bathing will be also to me forever if I don't bathe today? So it's the opposite. She's saying, I have to bathe today, and if I don't, then I'll be also in bathing forever. Again, lama la hafara. Why should hafara be necessary or fine? Now, in the previous one, when we said lama li hafara, lama la hafara, the Ran explained, I mean, how could he be made for it? There's no nedu in your nefesh yet. Here it means more, why should he need to be made for it? Just the opposite. Tisachi, let her bathe. Then that makes that she's never also again and finished. Why should he have to be made for when it's so easy for her to just take a bath today and then that's it? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, de Amar Hanas Ruchitza Laila Olam Imlay Erchatz B'mei Mishra. What she says is that the hana of bathing will be also to me forever if I don't bathe in Mei Mishra. Mei Mishra is water in which flax is soaked. Part of the process of making flax is you take the stems of the flax and you soak them in water for a while, and over time the stems, the outer casing of the stems rots away, and then you're able to take out the fibers and continue the process of making linen. Throughout Shas, we find that water tends to be very smelly because, of course, you know, you have the stalks are rotting away from there. So now, let's say she's not saying that I'm not going to, she's not saying, she's saying that Hanas Rechitza will be also to me forever if I don't bathe, but what kind of water if I don't bathe in Mei Mishra? Well, Mei Mishra is smelly, disgusting water. So then there's Inri Nefesh involved in the Tanai as well. To bathe in dirty water like that, we're saying would be considered Inri Nefesh.
That's also maybe between him and her.
It may also be Dvarim Shebeinu Levena, that's possible. Anyway, the point is, so now what should she do? If she bathes in that Mei Mishra, then there's Inui Nefesh involved. And if she doesn't, then Rechitza is going to be also to her forever. So therefore, that's what the Mishnah is saying, that Rabbi Yossi, that the Chachamim are saying that he can be made for. So we didn't explain Rabbi Yossi, but the Pashtos would be the same kind of thing. Rabbi Yossi would say, okay, so the one time she'll bathe in dirty water. So the Gemara says, "Dekabos say, well, fine. If you're going to understand the Mishnah like that, let's look at the next part of the Mishnah, the parallel. So again, when we have a Mishnah that says a few different expressions one after the other, we're generally going to assume that they all are based on the same premise. So the Mishnah had said four things: im erchatz ve'im loy erchatz, im eskashet ve'im loy eskashet. So now, we've explained im erchatz. We explained there was a tanai involved. We explained im loy erchatz also was saying that there's a tanai involved of bathing in dirty water. Well, the Mishnah continues, the katani im loy eskashet. The fourth thing the Mishnah says is she says, if I won't beautify myself, meaning with cosmetics. So what does she mean? She made a similar tanai saying im loy eskashet b'neft. that she says, if I don't beautify myself with neph, which is something like turpentine or turpentine or kerosene or something like that, it smells bad. It's some kind of very volatile and smelly liquid. So what do you mean? Lichluchu. At least when it comes to bathing, fine. The word bathing generically can mean bathing in any kind of water, even if it's dirty water. But the word miskashet, the word to beautify, can't mean to use something dirty and disgusting, like smelly, like neph.
Well, that takes the hairs off.
No, that's even if it takes the hairs off, I don't think that would be considered yet. So now, how can you use, so the lashon doesn't fit. Lichluchu, that's being dirty. So obviously, therefore, it can't mean that. When it comes to an askashet, it has to mean exactly that, using cosmetics. Well, then in that case, then applying that to the first part of the Mishnah, bathing has to mean bathing in clean water. No dirty water involved, because to make dirty water involved would be like making neft involved in the second part of the Mishnah, and you can't do that. Unlike bathing, where you could call it bathing, even if it's dirty water, you can't call it kishut if you're using something dirty like neft. So the answer is Amr of Yehuda. So rather, Rav Yehuda says, the Amra hanas v'chitza lo'olam alai im erchat hayoyim. So rather, we're going to say like this. The first part of the Mishnah is, like we said, that she said that the hana of bathing will be also to me forever if I bathe. So you have here the word hayyim. The Ran actually doesn't have that word in his girsa, because he says now actually you could go back to we had the whole discussion before whether there needs to be hayyim or not. Now the Ran says we don't need that. Now we can just say straight out. The Tanakama holds that even if we're talking about im erchatz, that she's saying that I'll never be able to bathe, because the first time I bathe, whether it's Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or whatever, is going to trigger the neder. At this point, we're saying the Tanakama would hold there's inu nefesh, and Rabbi Yossi would hold there's no inu nefesh. And since the Gemara is going to go on to explain that the Mishnah is also talking about a shvuah, where with a shvuah you don't really have a t'nai like that. Therefore, we don't necessarily have to assume that the t'nai was only limited to hayoyim. We can say that the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi disagree whether it's hayoyim or not. On the other hand, the Rosh keeps the word hayoyim in, and he explains that even according to this, to what we're now in the Gemara, we're still sticking with that explanation from the bottom of Amud Aleph. Anyway, the point is, so fine, erchatz means that. Ushvua shaloi erchatz. Then when the Mishnah says loy erchatz, it's not a neder anymore. Now we're talking about a shvua, a straight out shvua that I will not bathe. So now the Tanakhama is saying the husband can be made for that, and Rabbi Yossi is going to say that the husband can't be made for it because that's not considered nidra inu nefesh. Because in other words, again, Rabbi Yossi is going to hold that the lack of bathing is not considered nidra inu nefesh. Whether it's considered varim shebeina levena, we're going to get back to later. But he's going to hold that the lack of bathing in and of itself is not considered nidra inu nefesh. And that the Ran goes on to say that the reason, so in that case, why is the Mishnah mentioning both a neder and a shvuah, is because it wants to tell us a chiddush according to each one of them. The chachamim, the chiddush according to the chachamim, even though in the first part, im erchatz, the neder is not fully in effect yet, because it depends on her triggering it with her condition. Nevertheless, the chachamim are saying he can be mefer. And then Rabbi Yossi is saying, and then of course, then we mentioned shvuah shalai erchatz, there's no t'nai involved. Even though it's something that's chal right away, nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi is holding you can't be made for because it's not considered a neder or shvuah, in this case a shvuah of inri nefesh. So in other words, the machlokes between them is basically, is a lack of bathing considered nidri inri nefesh or not? The chachamim hold that yes, Rabbi Yossi holds that no.
So shvuah changes by Rabbi Yossi.
So in other words, a shvuah, well, the difference is a neder, we've been saying all this time, is you're saying that something is also to you. A shvuah is straight out, I am also to do such and such. So in loy erchatz in the Mishnah is talking about now Rabbi Yehuda is answering that the loy erchatz is not depending on a condition. She's just saying straight out, I'm making a shvuah, I'm not going to bathe.
So
Rabbi Yossi is still saying that's not considered nidur inu nefesh, because now we're back to a saying that Rabbi Yossi is saying that a lack of bathing is not considered inu nefesh, as we're going to go on to explain. So that's what it means. So im erchatz hayoyim means, so the omra hanas uchitza lo'olam alayim erchatz hayoyim. The first case of the Mishnah is, she says, if I bathe today, then if I bathe today, or the Ran takes out the word today, then bathing will be also to me forever. The loy erchatz, u'shvua shaloy erchatz, and then the loy erchatz means straight out a shvua that I won't bathe. Similarly, hanoas kishuk alayla olam emeskashet hayoyim. Similarly, when it comes to the beautifying yourself, the one way is that she's saying, if I beautify myself today, then I'll be also forever. Or shvur shalay eskashet, or straight out shvur that I won't beautify myself. So those are the four cases of Mishnah. So right. So in other words, for now we have the parallelism between the first part of the Mishnah and the second. Now we don't have to say anymore that we were talking about bathing in dirty water, because again we said there's no parallel for that in Tishrei. Now we're just saying that in each part of the Mishnah we have a neder versus a shvur. We have a neder depending on a condition, and we have a shvur depending on no condition. And Rav Yossi is arguing on all four of them.
That
he says it's not neder and a nefesh, right? Okay. So Omalei Ravina Lo Rav Ashi. But Ravina asks Rav Ashi, in that case, if you say the Mishnah is referring to Nedarim and Shavuos, Hi, Eivim Nedarim and Shavuos, anybody let him listen. Why does the Perek begin? The Eivim Nedarim, the Perek begins with the words, the Eivim Nedarim, Shu Mefer, according to what we're saying. The Mishnah is telling us two cases of Nedar and two cases of Shavuos. So it should say, the Eivim Nedarim and Shavuos, anybody let him listen. So it should say, these are the Nedarim and the Shavuos that the husband can be Mefer. So they go, okay, Amalai said, Rav Ashi says, fine, Tani Eivim Nedarim Shavuos. Fine, that's what the Mishnah means. It means Nedarim and Shavuos. So it's like a Chathuri Masra, sort of. Given that we've been forced to understand that the Mishnah is telling about Shavuos, then we have to understand that, yes, the Mishnah means to say that there are Shavuos involved over here as well.
You can't say that he uses the same Lashon that he's using the first part of Mishnah. Using the same lashon for the second.
No, because there's no, but that would be something else. That would be as far as the im erchatz im erchatz. Here we just have elu nedarim, so elu nedarim shabal mefer. So there's no second part over there afterwards where it says the elu something else. Same. The ibari same, or another answer, you could say shavuos nami haynu nedarim. You know what? Shavuos are kind of in the category of nedarim as well. Not so much the same pasuk, but the tznan, we learned in a mishnah at the beginning of our masechta kinidrei reshoyim. If a person says that such and such should be also to me, or I'm imposing on myself, like the Nedarim of Rishoyim, and we learned over there that it's Rishoyim who make Nedarim casually. Tzaddikim will generally not make Nedarim at all. They'll make Nedavos, for example, among a korban to the Beis Hamikdash. So then, Kinidre Rishoyim, we said Nader Benazir of a korban or a shvur. So then we said his Neder is Chal as far as Nazirus or korban or shvur. So we said over there we had various possibilities over there. In other words, if he said, for example, the Gemara explained over there, if let's say, for example, he saw a Nazir walking by and he said Kenidri Rishoyim Hareini, then it means that he's accepting on himself to be a Nazir. Or if he has meat of a korban in front of him, he says Kenidri Rishoyim Zeh, then it means that this becomes also to him like a korban and so forth. The point is, in other words, that we see that, and the Mishnah mentioned the word Shavua as well. So we see that, in other words, the word kenidre reshoyim can also include a shvur.
Yeah, but we said
a shvur is not as bad as a neder. It's true, but once he uses the word kenidre reshoyim, if the circumstances are, if the rest of what he expressed is amounts to a shvur, then it means that he's made a shvur. So let's say, for example, does it mean that he actually put himself under a shvur, or does it maybe mean that if the mafarish explained over there that it meant that if he makes a shvur and now he eats whatever it is that he said is going to be also to him, is going to be chayev the korban, is going to be chayev the asham, the osham, that he's going to be chayev for being over on a shvur. Asham Ne'ilois, or not really Asham, it's really a Korban or the Yodid, whatever. Anyway, he's going to be hired for it because he broke his Shavua. But again, the other way of understanding it means that he actually said, that he actually expressed the Shavua. He said, Kenidre Rishoyim, that I'm swearing to do such and such. And the fact is that becomes a Shavua. So we see, even though we use the word Nedarim, nevertheless, it includes a Shavua as well. So in the same way, our Mishnah can be using the words Ve'elu Nedarim, and it includes a Shavua as well. Fine. Okay, so now getting back to the basic point. So we're saying that the fundamental argument between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi is whether a lack of bathing is considered neder inui nefesh or not. The Chachamim hold it is, Rabbi Yossi holds it's not. So the Omer Rabbanan Luchitza Ispo inui nefesh kilo rachza. So you're telling me that the Chachamim hold that not bathing, that when it comes to bathing, there is inu nefesh involved if she doesn't bathe. The problem is, Urimini, I have a contradiction to that. A Braisa says, regarding Yom Kippur, even though a person is also on Yom Kippur to do all the things that are listed in the Mishnah at the beginning of the, not Malachos, the Mishnah list at the beginning of the last parak of Yuma, it mentions all the things you're also to do on Yom Kippur. You're also to eat, drink, bathe, achilosh, siyah, v'chitza, bathing, sicha, anointing, ne'ilas sandal, wearing shoes, tashma shamita. So even though a person is also on all those things on Yom Kippur, the Brisa says, "Ain onush koris ela ba'ochav b'shoyis va'os malacha b'vad." The only things that a person is chayev koris for on Yom Kippur is eating, drinking, and doing malach. So the Ran explains like this: the pasuk says, "Ki chol nefesh asher lo se'una." Any person that is not afflicted, then the pasuk goes on to say, "Bahavadi, I will make that neshama be lost from the Jewish people." So, which means koris. But we learned that expression, v'havaddi, is unusual. Usually the word would be v'chrati, or something like that, or michrasa. So we learn from that what kind of inui is included in that? Only the kind that involves ibud nefesh, only the kind that involves a loss of life. In other words, a person doesn't eat for a length of time, they're going to die. Therefore, that's called ibud nefesh. As opposed to, for example, a person doesn't bathe or anoint themselves or wear shoes or whatever, conceivably a person could live like that for years. So that's not considered inuin. That's not considered ibud nefesh. Malacha, it says also clearly in the pasuk for nefesh has to form malacha be'etzem yemizev v'nichrusa. So only those the person chayev karis for. V'i amit kila roch to iki inui. If you're telling me that not bathing is considered inuin nefesh, v'em kapurim ki roch to chayev karis, then the question is a person should be chayev karis for bathing on Yom Kippur as well. So this is almost the inverse of the question. So you brought up the question, Avraham Moshe, when we started this parak. How are we saying that not bathing is considered how are we saying that not bathing might not be inui nefesh according to Rabbi Yossi? Isn't it obviously inui on Yom Kippur? Here the Gemara is turning the question around 180 degrees, kind of. If it really is inui, a person ought to be chayav kares for it. The fact that not maybe implies that it's only an asnachta. Maybe it's only also derabbanan or something. So therefore, right. Midaraisa, not bathing, would not be considered inui. So how can the Chachamim say it is? So the answer is, Amar Rava in Yonah Dekra. So Rava answer is, fine, but you have to look at the context of the pasuk, and then you'll understand what the difference is. Gabi Yom Kippurim, Dichtiv Ta'anu Asnachi Seichem, by Yom Kippur, the expression of the pasuk is, you should afflict your souls. So and you only have the one day of Yom Kippur. Milsa de yoda inuya hashta. That means what kind of inui is the Torah itself imposing on you and saying that if a person doesn't do it, he's chayav kares, is the kind where right away the inui is noticeable. Rechitza lo yoda inuya hashta. If a person doesn't bathe for one day, there's no inui noticeable in it. Yes, it's true, of course. If a person goes on and on, like Chachamim are saying, when it's an open-ended thing, yes, there can be inui involved. But when it's a one-day thing, it's not recognizable yet as inui. Many people don't bathe every day. So therefore, so now, if you look at the context of the pasuk, then you can't say that a person who bathes on Yom Kippur is being over on inui, because whether he had bathed or not, even if he hadn't bathed, it wouldn't be noticeable as an inui. On the other hand, hashta gaben indorim, but lo yada inuya hashta. It's not rechitza lo yada inuya hashta, but the rechitza, the inui is not noticeable right now. On the other hand, gaben indorim, b'chitiv kol neder b'chol shvuas isal anes nafesh. When it comes to indorim, where the expression in the pasuk is any neder and any shvua that creates an isur to afflict a soul, well then it means milsa da asul al yada inui. So it means something that eventually is going to bring to inui. If he doesn't bathe, eventually it's going to come to inui. So fine. So by Yom Kippur, the Torah is telling us it's only a one-day thing. But by Nedarim, it never says that. Therefore, it can be an open-ended thing. Fine. If she doesn't bathe for one day, maybe it's not inui nefesh. But if she doesn't bathe for two, three, four, eventually it becomes inui nefesh. Therefore, the Torah is obviously indicating that the husband can be made for such a neder.
Because if Yom Kippur, one day, even says, you're supposed to have afflict yourself, and that includes not having a bath.
Right.
So then, for a few days.
So for a few days, it would, but Yom Kippur doesn't last a few days, right? So in fact, Tosfos ends up saying over here and also in Yuma that in fact the maskana of the Gemara is that in fact all the things for which a person is not chayav kares on Yom Kippur are in fact only derabanan. The Gemara explains there in Yuma, the Gemara goes through and explains that we find each of the things that are also on Yom Kippur, aside from Malacha, that's something else that's mentioned clearly in the Pasuk, but everything else, we find someplace in the Torah where not doing this is called inui. We find a place where eating, where a lack of eating and drinking is called inui. We find a place where tashmish, a lack of tashmish is called inui. We find a place where not bathing is called inui, and so forth. And therefore, that gives us a source that those things are also on Yom Kippur. But Tosfos is saying over here and over there that all of those are only asmachtos. It's really only dirabban that those things are also. On the other hand, the Rambam learns that not. The Rambam learns that the Gemara is in the end saying they are daraisa, they're just not chayiv kares on the grounds that we're saying because the inui is not noticeable right away. Okay. Fine. So now
that means more towards the
chum. That's what we're saying. So now what the Gemara says anyway, the Rami Drabyosi Adrabyosi. Now, in that case then we have a contradiction between two statements of Rabyosi. So in other words, we're saying like this. The Chachamim are saying that an open ended thing of not bathing is considered is eventually considered in. Rabyosi is saying that not, but Rabyosi is saying that not. Fine, Rabyosi could say that once you have it, not an inui for one day, then maybe it's not considered an inui for later as well. That's not the problem. The problem is that we're going to bring now a brisa where Rabyosi seems to be saying that that bathing is very important, and there is tsar, which is another word for inui nefesh, involved in not bathing. So we have a brisa that says like this: Mayan shal bnei ha'ir. Suppose you have a spring that belongs to a certain city. So it comes out of the ground in one city, and the water flows on the ground over there in a stream bed, and ends up the water eventually goes to another city. So now what happens is the people of the city where the water is coming from, they want to keep the water for themselves. They need it for drinking and bathing and washing clothes and drink and watering their animals and so forth. And so they want to stop up the river. They want to dam up the river so they can keep the water for themselves. Are they allowed to do that? So the Braisa says, if you have a question of their life versus the life of others, so in other words, for example, there's not enough water to supply two cities with drinking water, only the one. So then, their life comes ahead of the life of the others, as we have the famous Gemara in Bava Metzia, where Ben Keturah and Rabbi Akiva argue over that point. If you have two people in the desert, they only have one canteen of water between them. If they share it, it's not going to be enough for both of them. If one of them keeps it for himself, he'll be able to survive and get out of the desert. And Rabbi Akiva teaches, as much as you have to have Avos Yisrael, still Chayecha Koydim, and your life takes precedence. And therefore, in that case, then you keep the water for yourself, because otherwise they're both going to die. Yeah. So it's the same thing over here. Then we're saying that, yes, the people of the first city are entitled to keep the water for themselves. Behemtam of Ahemes Achelim. Similarly, what if there's not enough water for all of their animals, the animals in their city versus the animals in the other city? Same thing, Behemtam, Kademus, Behemes Achelim. Their animals take precedence over the animals of the other. Because again, a person has, the Gemara explains earlier in Bav Metzia, your nechassim, preserving your nechassim, comes first. The truth is, the Gemara does say over there, call him kayin kach soif boli de kach. The Gemara says a person shouldn't always be so picky about that, saying, I have to always take care of my nechassim first, otherwise his taka, the Eved is going to put him in a situation where his taka needs to save every penny because he's not doing so well financially, yeah. The Alter Rebbe, by the way, brings this Gemara in Igeres Tesai in Tanya. You have the Alter Rebbe is writing to a city over there where they were having economic difficulties, and because of that they reduced the amount of tzedakah that they gave. And the Alter Rebbe writes them a letter and he says, "Listen, I understand you're doing very badly in Parnassah, and Eved should help you, but you should realize, first of all," he says, and he quotes this Gemara, "that the basic needs of the aniyim take precedence over your more expansive things. So fine, you may not have good food for your Shabbos table, but that's not nearly as important as the fact that the aniyim have no bread and water b'chlal." And he mentions this Gemara in that connection. But then he goes on to say, even if the situation was that all you have is bread, just bread and water for yourselves, and you're saying therefore you can't give any of them, nevertheless you have to consider that statement in Rav Matzia, call him a kain ba'atzmei kach, and still pinch pennies in order to still be able to give tzedakah, and the Eved will help you out as well. Yeah. Anyway, continues the Gemara. What if there's not enough water in the stream for both cities to be able to wash their clothes? Then again, their laundry comes ahead of the other people. So then, yes, they're allowed to dam up the stream in order to use it for their laundry, even though it means the other city, even though it means the other city is not going to have. But what if you have in the one city they have enough water, they have enough drinking water and enough to bathe and enough to wash their clothes. In the other one, they don't have enough drinking water. So let's say the first city has not only this spring, they have other water sources. So between all of that, they have enough for all their needs. Now, if they dam up the river, the other one is not even going to have enough water for them to drink. So then, the life of the other people goes ahead of their laundry. This is what the Alter Rebbe mentions in that Egeres over there that you see. In other words, your laundry, which is a luxury, doesn't take precedence over the other guy's chayim. By the way, most of the Mefarshim say we're not literally talking about over here where the people in the other city are partial. They're gonna die of thirst. Then there's no question, of course. And then Rabbi Yossi is not gonna disagree. What we're talking about is, let's say the other city, they can get water, but it's gonna be difficult. They'd have to have it transported in from other places or dig or whatever it is. So Rabbi Yossi says that actually no, the laundry of the first city comes ahead of the life of the other one, so they're allowed to dam up the river in order to have enough water for their laundry, even though it means the other city is going to have a hardship of drinking water. So now the question becomes, if Rabbi Yossi is saying that the tzar, without doing laundry, how much more so, guf kula lekol shekin, how much more so there should be a tzar in not being able to bathe their bodies? So how can Rabbi Yossi and Or Mishnah say that all along we've been saying that Rabbi Yossi is saying that not bathing is not considered inui nefesh, if he considers even laundry to be ahead of somebody else's drinking water? The answer is Amri. The answer is A. Yes, as a matter of fact, according to Rabbi Yossi, not doing laundry is worse than not bathing. As in fact, we find that Shmuel says, when a person's hair is dirty, so ibuvisa literally means mixing up. So like when his hair is all mixed up and matted or whatever, the Ran explains because he didn't comb his hair properly, so now he has dirt and lice in his hair. Masya the day avira, that can bring a person to be blind. The fact that his head is dirty and full of dirt and lice or whatever can lead him to become blind. What's the connection? The Rosh explains, the Gemara elsewhere tells us that every hair has its own follicle. The Gemara in Baba Basra and in Nida, where Hashem says to you, if you're complaining about how I run the world, you think I mixed up things, I think that you're an enemy of mine or something, don't you realize, for example, I created a separate follicle for every little tiny hair, because the Gemara says, if two hairs were to get their nourishment from the same follicle, it would weaken a person's eyesight. So we see that there's a connection between the hair and eyesight. So here, the same kind of thing. Then you're saying that if he doesn't comb his hair and get the lice out, whatever, it can bring him to blindness, which is pretty bad. But Shmuel continues, "Ubavisa the money." But when his clothes are filthy because he doesn't wash them and he wears them when they're dirty, "Masil de shimumisa," then it brings him to become crazy. "Ubavisa the gufa," and if he doesn't bathe his body, then it brings him to have boils and to have boils and sores. Now, of these three things, which is the worst of all? Craziness, because at least blindness might be a temporary thing, and the boils also is going to be a temporary thing. When a person goes crazy, it's more permanent. Therefore, so we see, in other words, that Rabbi Yossi considers, and what do we say, what makes a person go crazy is when he doesn't wash his clothes. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi considers that, yes, not washing clothes is even worse than not washing the body. So, yes, he may well say not washing the body, yes, eventually it may lead to boils and sores and things, but the lack of bathing itself is not really inui nefesh, as opposed to the lack of laundry is going to be considered more inui nefesh because of the consequences that can bring, where the person goes crazy, where the person goes insane, and therefore, yes, he's going to say that the laundry of the first city takes precedence over the drinking water of the second city. So therefore, there's no contradiction within Rabbi Yossi's opinion. And the Sadran says, now the Gemara did not point out that there's a contradiction between the Chachamim's opinion, because first of all, the Chachamim are going to say that the Chachamim might say the other way around, that not doing laundry is not such a tsar as compared to not bathing the body. And also, even if you're going to say that, even if you're going to say it's the same, fine, the Chachamim say, Chaya Chayim Kodim, and the Chachamim are going to say that, look, the life of the other city, that they need drinking water, is still more important than your tsar with not bathing or not washing, whatever. That's why the Gemara only asks on Rabbi Yosi. Okay, so we're going to continue. The Gemara is actually going to digress to some Agadah, which we'll learn tomorrow about this matter of not bathing and not combing your hair and whatever and the consequences of it. And we're going to continue with other interesting things as well.
Interesting how.